Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart again in your presence, looking to your word. God, thank you for your love letter. Thank you for communicating clearly, simply, wonderfully, so that we might have the benefits of your wonderful person. God, thank you very much. So set apart thy word and time and even this day. Honor yourself in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, he's the last living apostle. He looks back and sees the Old Testament. He sees all the New Testament except his own epistles. He sees all of that. And he has an assignment to present the purpose of all of the Bible. And that is to reveal God, to make God clearly known and understood, so that he might receive the honor and the glory. And in the process of all of that, in his doing that, looking to him, we're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the key. When you're all done with all of the Bible and all of history, what did God ever ask of you? To believe him. Simply to give him credit for who he is and to believe him. And believe is used over 99 times in the Gospel of John. To sit down, to rely upon, to be totally giving adherence to, committed to, trusting in that which is the object, you for the pew, for the heart, for God, putting all your weight down on him. Thus, the Gospel of John. And John presents in a sequence those wonderful things that would help us understand God's wonderful outworking for the people of the world by way of Israel. So here in John chapter 5, we share together, as we have, up to verse 18. But I'm going to go back, if I may, to verse 14. But before we do that, I would remind you, in the context, God has a message to bring to the world by way of Israel. The messenger is chosen by God at his leisure because of his many, many reasons, he understands. And here God chooses a man that has been infirmed, 38 years, crippled. And among the multitude of the many hundreds of people that are there by the pools, as you go down there looking at the pools in Shiloh, as you look at them, hundreds of people, wow, all waiting, and they all come and go in shifts. And our Lord went among all of those people, and he went, and they're looking for healing. And in the process, God selected a man. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, walked into the middle of those people, and he picked a man. Why did he pick that man? To the seemingly neglect of all the others. God picked that man. And the reason, he would respond. What did God know about this man? If the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity had gone to any other, would they have done what this man did? Remember chapter 5 and verse 6. When Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, 38 years. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole, healed? Verse 8. He responded to three commands. Thus saith the Lord unto him, rise, A. B, take up thy bed, roll it up, and put it on your shoulder or carry it, and walk. That man exactly did what he said. He did that without any discussion, without any debate, not knowing who Jesus was. And yet, we shared last time, there had to be a wonderful knowing of all the people that he has ever seen in Jerusalem, anywhere. There was no one like him. To see into his eyes, you knew he was different. He was like none other. And the only thing to do when he spoke was to obey him. That's why God picked. There may be other reasons, but that's one reason. God picked that man out of all of those people. Now, and take up thy bed and walk. So in the process of all that, and he didn't know, remember he didn't know, but he did know he was different. Chapter 5, and in verse 13. And he that was healed, remember he went carrying his bed, he that was healed wist knew not who he was, for Jesus had conveyed, moved out of the crowd himself away, a multitude being in the place. How could you find anybody in that crowd anyway, if they weren't right next to you? Wow. So he knew not, he didn't know. Now in the process of all that, without the man, without any regard to his physical condition of 38 years, he hasn't been walking 38 years, without any regard for that, without any regard for the healing water of the pool, he's waiting by the pool to see if the water will be troubled, and you know, without any regard, he didn't even consider the water, he didn't even consider his place in there to get to the water, he didn't even consider that. And in the process, without any regard to the pool, without any regard to the fact that it was the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, you don't carry any burdens. It is the Sabbath, a holy Sabbath. And you don't carry burdens without death. Exodus 31. If you carry a burden, you die. Now, they weren't enforcing the law, obviously. But that was the law. And you picked up a burden. You picked up a burden. That's your bed. Because God told you to. God told them in a most wonderful way. And he went to the temple. It's the first day of the feast, I should say. Lots and lots of people in Jerusalem. It's the Sabbath day. Lots and lots of people in Jerusalem in the temple. Lots of people. Wow. And where are you going to go with that bed? You're going to go right smack in the middle of all of the leaders, Jewish leaders, etc. And you're going to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And you're going to walk right in the middle of them. Wow. Are you afraid? Did you even make a comment? He didn't care. He got wonderfully, wonderfully healed. And it was so exciting, so wonderful, what he was doing and what he had. He didn't even sit down and take consideration that it was the Sabbath and the Jewish people leaders wouldn't like it. Now, having said that, so in the process, verse 14. And so now he's going to face the reality of his condition. And he goes to the temple, verse 14, after Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. So, here he is, and he's going, and he's there. And in the process, he is identified, there's no question, he's the one that was 38 years out there. Everyone, more or less, that lived in Jerusalem would have spotted him somewhere, somehow. And he carried his bed so that would identify him very clearly, no question, who he was. And in the Pharisee leadership, remember, they asked him, verse 13, who it was. They didn't ask him, who did this? Who healed you? What about this wonderful healing? They didn't even bring it up. They just wanted to know who told you to violate the Sabbath. And remember, we shared that together, the Sabbath day. The Sabbath year, etc. And all of that was to help the people of Israel and then the world to know what? That God created heaven and the earth in 6 days. And God did that so that we human beings could be in it. and enjoy all of the marvelousness of our earthly material universe. Food, laws of science, health, all kinds of things. And we're to exercise and enjoy them, we shared last time. We're to enjoy them. Experience them and enjoy them. And we don't create anything. It's all created. We can find out how to exercise that which has been created, the laws, etc. But we don't create anything. And all of that was to lead us to where? To the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. And on the cross he will say, it is finished. Finished. Period. No more. No more. What do we do to make it better? What do we do to make salvation more wonderful? Nothing. Nothing. What do we do to make creation? Nothing. God did it so that we could enter into something we couldn't produce and couldn't do, and so that we could experience and enjoy it. The Sabbath day is what he picked. And in the process of all of that, dear friends, did that. And in verse 14 again. Afterward, Jesus find himself in the temple and said unto him, behold, now remember, it's in the Lord finds him. He doesn't find the Lord. There's a lot of people in there, a lot of people in the temple area. No question. He found him just like he did in the pool. All these people, and the Lord found that man that would respond. And here he is in the temple, and the Lord finds that man. The Lord knows, finds, whosoever seeketh him with all their heart shall be found. God shall find them. Wow. Now, in the light, verse 14. 5 and 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, pay attention, thou art made whole, you've been healed, perfect tense, you have been healed and you are healed, you are going to stay healed. Now stay healed. And keeping in mind the reality of your new state physically. You are in a new condition. I want you to understand your newness so that you can realize your oldness. I want you to pay attention to where you are, because a few moments ago, as it were, you were continuing your 38-year journey through time, crippled now. Add in verse 14, sin no more, miss the mark, don't deviate from the way, no longer do it, lest, negative, on account of, instead of, what's going to happen if you don't catch this, lest a worse, more severe, more grievous thing happen to you. You have a condition that was brought on 38 years ago, and now you feel good. I don't want you to lose the wonderful meaning and message that you have just learned. Now, in order to get that a little, to understand, back over, in the light of that, remember now, we don't know what sin it was. We do know that he had this problem 38 years, and it caused a problem. Whatever the sin was, it caused a problem. In fact, we aren't told what it is, because it's immaterial what it is. But, that it was needed to put on the table. God did a wonderful thing for that man, to put on the table of his mind and of his heart so that he could learn something, that he could be the beneficiary of the healing, of the grace of God, of the goodness of God, that you would have some benefit of being on planet Earth in the light of God's kindness and grace, to provide the air, water, food, and the rest of it. Wow. Now, in order to give a little sequence, would you go with me, please, to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in verse 4. You remember the Pharisees, Sadducees, etc., Essenes were looking to get, always trying to get him. Now, verse 4, chapter 8. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery and in the very act. Now, we're going to stone her. Should we stone her? Here you are. And by the way, it's a Sabbath day again. It's a Sabbath day. Now, what are we going to do with this woman? Over in verse 10. And remember, they wanted to know, stone her, what are we going to do? When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers that accused you? Hath no man condemned thee? Remember, they all left. The Lord dealt with them. Verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. And then, go and sin no more. Your problem was because of sin. Don't, no more, no more, no longer. Don't do it. Don't do it. Over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. And picking up of the blind man, verse 2, 9 and verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Neither one of them. It isn't because of sin. The other two, sin, because of sin. But this one, not sin, not sin. I want you to see, all sickness, suffering, disease, it's because of sin. But not personal sin that could produce it. Chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 3, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, clear, public, plain in him. That the Sabbath day, and it was and by side, verse 14, I should say, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, here in verse 9, as opposed to verse 8. Chapter 8. Now, in the light of that healing, in the light of that, has just for the glory of God, but simply because God chose to do it. God chose to allow that to happen. Now, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. So there's a sin, don't do it any longer. There's a sin that it just were conditions physically that are there simply because in God's providential management, he allows them. Chapter 11 and in verse 4. Remember, Lazarus died. The sister Mary and Martha wanted him to come. But, verse 4, chapter 11. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. So the reason Lazarus died was because in God's providential management, it was a way that God was going to be glorified. And thus, he didn't die. He had to be resuscitated. But it was for the glory of God. So here, these all kinds. So you can't just say, the sickness, you must be sinning. No, sin causes sickness. Over, if you would, please, to John, the Gospel of John, yon far away. The gospel, go to Romans. Romans chapter 5, to answer that one better. Romans chapter 5, and in verse 12, what do you know? Wherefore, 5 and 12, Romans. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. And sin, sorrow, and suffering is all going to be there to humans because of the sin problem, the sin nature problem. All of it's going to be there. Chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin, 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's sin, sorrow, suffering, disease, and death. It's almost there, But you need to look to God to handle all of that rightly. Over, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When it comes to believers, they are not immune from sin, sorrow, and suffering, and death. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you would recall, in verse 29, in the light of the Lord's table, etc. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, you don't understand. You are not exercising that unique, wonderful relationship. Do this in remembrance of me. You're not doing that. You aren't putting me in the right place in your life. Verse 30. For this cause, many are weak. No strength. Many are sickly among you. And many sleep. That's a word for the dead. Many have died. Believers. Sickly, weak, they're dead because of this. All right? And to wonderfully so, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's why we look to God in the light of his saving grace, in the light of the finished work on Calvary's cross. We take advantage of the finished work. It isn't something he has to do to forgive us. He has what? Forgiven us. And we want to take advantage of that in a good way. And thus, verse 32, when we are judged rightly by God, we are chastened, disciplined, etc., of the Lord. God is going to spank us and awaken us. That reason, that we should not be condemned with the world. God, you're going to do that so that we are not condemned with the world. That's right. So, sickness, disease, here's this man, and this man is healed, and this man is told, remember what got you into this 38 years ago. Don't do it again. Now, chapter 1 John... 1 John to add, and then we'll try to catch the other part of it. 1 John chapter 5. May I go directly to verse 16 in the light of the context. 5 and 16. If any man see his brother, that's believer, sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not, N-O-T, unto death. There is a sin, there is one unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. When that sin is committed, you don't bother praying. You just back off, sit tight. When that happens, do nothing. Many are sleep weak, sickly, and sleep. Now, in the light of that, you got that little flavor of movement. So when you say sickness and suffering and sorrow, there's all kinds of basic reasons for it. But in this case, we're looking at this particular case, and this man, if he doesn't catch this, in order to avoid worse conditions, more severe, more grievous state of your heart and mind and body, don't Learn from this and sin not. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Over, if you would, to catch that part of it. Over to the book of Exodus and chapter 5. Exodus and chapter 5. A worse thing happened to you now. Exodus chapter 5, you would recall Pharaoh, Moses, letting the people of Israel go, and then the series of 10 plagues, etc. Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Why? "That they may hold a feast, a celebration unto me in the wilderness." I want to introduce myself to you, to Israel. Verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is he that I should obey his voice? So and so let to let Israel go. I know not," N-O-T, "the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." I don't know your God. I'm not going to honor your God. I'm not going to let Israel go. I'm not going to do it. Now, over to chapter in the book of Exodus. Over, if you would, please. Chapter 9. Well, we'll just skip that and get to the... it'll accomplish the same thing. Exodus chapter 9, and picking up, please, in verse 11, 9:11. And the magicians of Pharaoh could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And no one cared about contesting or fighting. They were all covered with a very painful condition, and they were not interested in anyone else. They were trying to get relieved and relief. Verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And each time, remember, God is going to say, "Let my people go." And each time, Pharaoh is going to say no. And every time you say no to God, another no, another no, another no. Each time, you're getting into a situation where the coming together is less and less going to happen. Not going to happen. Pharaoh's heart got hard. Exodus chapter 11. Well, go over with me to verse 34 and verse 35. 9, 34 and 35. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, the plague ended, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And thus, verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Are you going to let them go? No. And what's happening to your heart? Harder and harder and harder. And do you know what? A worse thing is going to happen to you. First part, but then when we come to the end, it's not going to be good. And then when he tries to cross the Red Sea, 4.5 miles or whatever, wow, it's not going to be good for his great army. Not going to be good. Not good. Worse. Did you catch it, Pharaoh? No, I didn't. Israel, Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26. And you would recall in Leviticus 26. May I go to verse 1. You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, an idol, Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my hope, my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, and then you're going to read all of the blessings, the marvelous, wonderful blessings. And God is going to give them peace and prosperity. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 12. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Wonderful. But what a wonderful thing. You just got healed. Healed. God said, I want you to learn something from this. Just because you got a little grace and mercy and kindness, don't lose the benefits of it. Wow. Israel, this is what I'm going to do. Wow. But, if you don't learn being my people and being an example to the world, I can't let it just go. I got to do something with it. What are you going to do, God? All right. Over, if you would, chapter 26, going, if I can, to verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye will despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor, hate my judgments, so that ye will not, N-O-T, do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Verse 16. I also will do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat flesh, eat it. And I will set my face against you, etc. Now, I want to get the little point. You see in verse 16, I also will do this. Okay, step one, this. So, then he does all of this stuff. Now, should we learn? Did we learn anything? Verse 18. If you will not yet, for all this, all that I let happen, hearken unto me. If you won't hear, you don't heed, you don't pay attention. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith to the churches. Then I will punish, verse 18, you seven times more for your sins. Seven times more. All right. And we're going to go and some more. Now, we should wake up some more. How much more do you want? Well, verse 26. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield the fruit. And if you walk contrary, verse 21, unto me, I will not hearken unto, and you will not hearken unto me. I will bring seven times more plagues unto you according to your sins. Verse 25. And if you will not be reformed by me, that means to be reformed, to be renewed beyond, to bring something back, to return it. If you will not be reformed by me, saith the Lord, to fix something that needs to be corrected. If you will not be reformed by me, by these things, if you will walk contrary unto me, verse 24, then also will I walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times more. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 27. And if you will not at all, for all these things, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, verse 28, then will I walk contrary unto you, and also in fury, and I, even I, will chasten you seven times for your sin, and over and over. How come Israel had such a terrible movement of history? Because each time they learned nothing from it. And then when you go down to the worst part of all, they have the temple, the city surrounded, where they apparently had to eat their children for food. So how bad could it get? Pretty bad. Pretty bad. It never had to be that. But you don't fix it. You don't fix it. Wow. So now, having said that, order, if you would please, to Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And you will pick up, please, in verse 13. You're familiar with it. 28 and 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, put them out in the open before God, and forsaketh them. You got to confess and leave them alone. Don't try to cuddle them, carry them, house them. Don't do that. Forsaketh them shall have mercy. Wonderful, wonderful mercy, God. Isn't that what the man needs of 38 years? Yes, he does. But you don't want to go and do it again. A worse thing will happen to you. You started out, I want right, I want to do right, I want to do right, and God blesses the heart, and then the next thing, the heart goes in the other direction. No, that's not good. That's not the way to go at all. Now, in the light of that, over in Psalm 130, Psalm 130. We were there the other day, on Wednesday, I think. Psalm 130. May I go directly to verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities. If you're going to make a bigger issue than you do about our sin, who, God, is going to be able to ever survive? No one. No one, no one, no one. If there's no forgiveness, God, if there's no mercy, if there's no way, we're in trouble. Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. Absolutely. Why? That purpose thou mayest be what? Feared. I am going to give you grace so that you will reverence and honor me. I'm going to give you time to fix it. Will you take it? Pharaoh didn't take it. Israel didn't take it. They will, coming up, but not yet. Not yet. God, you want us to get look to you, and that's why you're going to be kind to us. Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Psalm 85, picking up, please, in verse 1. Lord, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah, consider. Verse 3, thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now, God, here you are, we have a, God, you are clobbering us. You're trying to work it out, like Isaiah chapter 1. Why do we have to go to court? If you take God to court, guess what? You're going to lose. You don't want God to go to court. You want to settle your heart's need outside of court. Settle it outside. You don't want to go to court with God. Because then it's very public. And he'll honor. He has to honor his rightness. Don't take me to court, said God. Now, not in that way. Thus, over if you would, Psalm 85, picking up with a thought, verse 6. Thou wilt, verse 5, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, and that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now, our part, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I hear you, God. Don't let worse things happen. Don't sin no more. I will hear what the God the Lord will speak. Reason, he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let not them turn again to folly and foolishness. I did that for you. Now, don't mess up with me, said God. Because each thing will get worse and worse and worse. To where you wouldn't turn to God if an angel from heaven stood in front of you. You'll never get saved because you don't want to get saved. Wow. You say, no one's in that. Oh, yes, they are. People get to that hardness. They don't want to get saved. No, sir. You know, I told you that with Nelson Blount. Use the illustration of the past. Nelson Blount, remember? Ocean Spray, cranberry sauce. I used to know him. After he was saved. Before I was saved, I would never know him because he was a country club hut, whatever. But when he got saved, he quit the country club circuit. He quit it. And that's how I know him. After the country clubs. And Nelson Blount, he used to have a little car. I still have it. He gave it to me. He handed it out. And I remember it said on one side, a little card. And he put it on one side, I will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior, etc. And then it had a name, sign your name. And then you'd hand it to the person. And they said, No, I don't. He said, turn the card over. And you turn the little card over. I, here and now, reject Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And sign it. If you won't receive him, reject him officially. Hot, cold. Get it over with. Don't be lukewarm. Get it over with. I'm either with you or against you. There is no lukewarm. There is no gray. There is no either for me or against me. Wow. Turn not again to folly. Over, if you would, please. Oh, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, you read it. And in Psalm 32, remember David had sin, Bathsheba, murder, and adultery, and God dealt with his heart. And God dealt with his heart. And in the process, Psalm 51 was written. And David learned from it, and sin did my mother conceive me, and he did. But now, almost a year later, what did he write? He wrote another. He said, help me to teach people not to do what I did. Psalm 32 is what he did. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. The blessed man, the man going down straight down the corridor, is a blessed man. Not to the left, not to the right. Straight line, God. A blessed man, a forgiven man. But David, but what happened to the guy that killed the lion and killed the bear? What can kill Goliath? What happened to that character? What about him? Well, I went and goofed. Badly. Verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old all through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I have a terrible, terrible months. Because I didn't get right. I was waiting and waiting and bad, mad and sad and everything. Wow. My heart was ripped apart. King or no king. My heart was ripped apart. What were you waiting? Well, David, are you learning anything? Oh, I am. It isn't going to take me 38 years, though. I'm going to learn. And thus, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin, confess your sin and forsake it. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hidden. I put it out in the open, God. I didn't try to hide like behind the trees in the Garden of Eden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You took my sin and forgave it. God, I didn't ask for forgiveness. I confessed it. You did the forgiving. I don't have to look for forgiving. God, you've done it. You've finished creation. You've finished redemption. It's all done. You want to enjoy it. Exercise it. Experience it. But most don't do that. Wow. So now, in Psalm 32, David confessed and God forgave. He knew God would forgive. He didn't have to guess God would forgive. God is merciful, wonderfully merciful. Oh, 38 man, 38 years, and now healed. Don't do worse things. Don't go back to what you did. We don't know what you did, but you know what you did. And the man knew that God knew, the Lord knew, what he had done 38 years ago. And the man knew it. Knew it. Wow. So no getting out of this one. I said, boy, and you know, without turning there, you remember the woman at the well? And he told her, because she didn't understand who he was or anything, and he helped her understand her whole life. She was had five husbands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she was not out of sync with the community. She wasn't in tune. She was a harlot, an outcast. And then she went, and God told her, God looked inside her heart, and she said, he could see inside of me. John 4, come see a man that told me all about me. Come see a man. He has to be something other than just a man. Come see him. He told me all about me. What did this man? God said, I know all about you. I know all about you. God knows all about us, doesn't he? From start to finish, God knows all about us. So you can say, no one knows. Oh, yes, they do. God knows your heart inside out and upside down. No. So God, here we are looking. God looking. And in the light of that, oh, well, we're here, we'll close with it. Over in Psalm 7. Stay with Psalm 32. Go to verse 7. 32 and 7. David, give us a wonderful, wonderful conclusion. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me and surround like a city. The enemy surrounds the city. The water surrounds them, built the castle. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You're going to rescue me. I will instruct thee in the way that, teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee. Only don't be as a horse or a mule. Don't be where I have to twist your arm, break your arm, give you cancer. Is that what I got to do to get your attention? Don't do that. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. God, here we are looking. God, you were merciful to this man. And this man, you told him to go, and don't you do sin anymore like you did, or you're going to be in worse trouble than having paralysis and can't walk. Wow, don't do that. Now, you would remember, years ago, this little boy was there given a slingshot. The little boy, slingshots are very nice weapons. Slingshot. And he had a slingshot, you know. And goody. And in the process, you shoot slingshots. And there was a little duck. They had a pet duck. Now, this little boy went, and there was their pet duck. You would never think of hitting a pet duck. So he wound up and let it go. And he killed this duck. He killed the duck. And he went and buried it. And he hid it, looked around like people, would make sure no one sees you. No one saw. Until he went to the kitchen. And the cook had been looking out the window. And the cook saw him shoot the duck. So the cook played a wonderful game with him. I won't tell your father where the duck is, if you do the dishes and everything. So here he is doing the dishes every day. Every day doing, he got tired of doing the dishes, Oh, and the cook would just head him forward, clean the floor, pick up this. Wow, what a, he had him, And the little boy got tired and tired. Like the prodigal son got tired of eating corn, husk, etc. Wow. So the little boy went, and very sheepishly went to his father and bowed his head and said, "Dad, I want you to know that the reason you don't see the duck is because I killed him. I shot him and I buried him." And the father said, "I know. I saw you do it. I saw you do it. I saw what the cook did. I saw what you did. And I was going to wait until you get so fed up doing what you didn't have to do and came to me. I waited for you to come. I already knew it. All you had to do is what? Confess that you shot the dumb duck. You shot the duck. The duck isn't the issue. You're the issue. Did you learn anything from washing the dishes and all those things? Did you ever learn anything? Lest worse things happen to you." Wow. The father already knows. So God, I want to learn from this 38-year guy, infirmed. I want to learn from him. God, I want to keep my heart right. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, what? The blood of Jesus Christ does what, dear friends? If we walk, it cleanses us from what? All sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful just to what? To forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and we deceive ourselves. You see? God, I want to learn from it. I do. And I don't want to go. In the light of Obamacare, in the light of all the stuff that's out there, and all that's going to lie ahead, I sure hope we all have such a wonderful personal relationship to our Lord Jesus. A working, profitable, personal, practical, precious relationship to him. He's the one. He's the great, greatest physician. And his pharmaceutical company is extremely successful. And I want to look to him. I want to learn, God. I'm not looking for the system and reading all the medical books and trying to get, God, I'm going to try to do what I can, but how do I replace you? And the reason we have all this suffering and sorrow and heartache and headache is because of sin. God, you died on the cross and finished it. The Lord Jesus, it said, you said of yourself, you took our infirmities and our sickness in your own body on the tree. You took our sickness. You took it. And I want to be smart enough to take the benefit of that and trust him. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our head and our heart. We thank you for your grace and mercy, kindness, God. Help us as we stumble through it all, that we will be the better, not worse, that we will be the better for it. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. 477. Let's stand together as we sing the first and fourth stanza.